Welcome to Juno Afternoon from listeners supported KTOO for Friday, September 29th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish Hawa for joining the conversation. On today's show, Southeast Alaska Land Trust revives the beloved Juno Fiddlehead Restaurant for one night only as a fundraiser this October. Juno Soccer Club is set to kick off their season and has a wonderful event tomorrow. An early look at First Friday with photographer Fubao Hartle and his upcoming event. And we'll chat with Treadwell Arena about the wonderful event happening this weekend featuring Olympic gold medal skater Scott Hamilton to help eliminate cancer. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
For over a century, Filipinos have shaped the community of Juno. But how did we get here? And why do we stay?
I'm just here to try and make sure that this organization, that effort that people put into making this community vibrant and what it is today, doesn't falter.
Listen to KTOO's new podcast for stories from Juno's Filipino community. Manga Cuento premieres October 6th. Find it at ktoo.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. On Saturday, October 21st, the Southeast Alaska Land Trust invites you to celebrate as well as revive your taste buds for one of Juno's best-known and very much-missed restaurants, Fiddlehead. The pop-up dinner will feature some of the most loved recipes. There will also be some recognition and celebration of the growth and success of the Land Trust. And here to share all about this upcoming event are board members Olivia Glasscock, Beth Pendleton, and Matt Robus. Gunath Chish, welcome all to the studio. How are you today?
Doing good.
Thanks, Boston.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so great to have you all here. So I guess the first thing to start out, though, is let's figure out what is the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. It's a big name. What does it do? What's the mission of it? I know it's a nonprofit and it does all kinds of good work. What does it do?
Well, the trust is really our region's land trust. We cover a service area that stretches from Yakutat to Ketchikan. We have 42 conservation properties. Most of those are either under a conservation easement or they are outright owned by the trust and they're managed for their unique conservation values.
I see. Okay. So what does that mean, conservation trust? What does that mean actually?
Well, it means that we've agreed to manage in perpetuity these properties that are owned because of their owned or managed because of their conservation or their ecological value. And one of the main functions that the Seal Trust does is to provide a way for developers to mitigate for projects that they're doing that have some environmental impact. And it's a complicated process, but to cut it short, we provide lands that can be set aside forever that provide habitat and outdoor values for people. In exchange for the impacts of the development. So we're that's why we're a trust. We hold on to properties and keep them in a natural state as mitigation for other land that's being developed.
I see. Okay. And you brought up a good point because I called it the full name, but you all call it the Seal Trust as well, right?
Or SEALT. Yeah.
SEALT. That's good because it's a mouthful to say Southeast Alaska Land Trust every time, I bet. Say that five times fast, right?
Exactly.
So how do you acquire the lands that are then conserved?
So kind of in two different ways, either through a conservation easement. In other words, we work with local landowners who would actually continue owning the lands, but they agree to keep the conservation values, whether it's wildlife or fisheries or recreation access use, to keep those available in perpetuity. So we actually hold an easement to keep those lands conserved in perpetuity, but they still are retained by the land owner. The other way is to do an outright purchase of the land.
I see. Okay. And do some people also maybe put it in their wills or something that they would give the land to the land trust after they pass?
Well, they certainly, if individuals are interested in perhaps putting their land into a conservation easement or selling the land, they should reach out to the trust.
Yeah. Okay.
And work with our great staff there on the potential for them becoming part of the conserved land.
And are you looking for, does the sealed trust look for specific kinds of lands? Like, is it looking for certain areas, Olivia, that are sort of specific? I mean, you're not looking for like somebody's half acre plot necessarily, right? We're looking for something larger than that.
Yeah. So we're evaluating the lands for their conservation values, which could mean a variety of things. So fish and wildlife habitat, important aquatic resources like wetlands, places that have values for things like subsistence hunting and fishing. So it really kind of depends. Could be areas that are important for public access and use or view sheds and things like that.
But if you have a chunk of land and you're listening, this is the place maybe to think about getting involved with. Do you all work too with the state or the city to figure out different areas that might need to be conserved and be put into this trust?
Absolutely. A number of the conservation easements are actually properties that are held by the city and borough of Juneau, and there's a conservation easement, and they're being sustained or maintained for their unique values. And the trust has a key role in helping stewarding those lands. So yes, we do work with the city and borough, a number of landowners as well.
And you said you have 42 of these large chunks of area, wetlands, different things, and that must cost money to upkeep, right?
Which Absolutely.
Is one of the reasons we're here today to talk about the Fiddlehead pop-up dinner and celebration. It mentions in there that you're going to be celebrating the growth of the trust. It's about 28 years old, or it's going to be 28 years old. Tell me a little bit more about that in terms of the growth of it and what you're going to be celebrating at this event.
Well, the first property actually, speaking of city interaction with the trust, the first property that was protected by CEALT was the City Arboretum. Mm. And that's under an easement so that the city owns it, but there's an agreement that it will never change from what is going on out there now. It's a conservation property. And yes, it takes funds for us to annually inspect every property at least once, sometimes twice, to make sure that activities are in compliance with the easement or that activities are being done within our policies for an owned property. And so the Fiddlehead dinner is very much an attempt to bring in some funds to help us with those management tasks. There's also the idea of building up our acquisition fund so that we have resources to purchase additional lands in the future.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of the main thing that this would add to.
Yeah, absolutely. And Beth, can you speak to just a little bit the importance of this work, like in terms of, I know we've talked a little bit about the conservation aspect of it, but why is that important?
Well, I think a number of reasons. I think a great example would be the Mendenhall Wetlands. The trust either outright owns or has additional conservation easements out there that help to protect the integrity of those wetlands, which we know are really valuable for fisheries, for wildlife, particularly bird use during spring and fall migration. So as we are looking at these properties, we're looking at those unique conservation values and where they can add and provide some real benefits to wildlife, to fisheries, and also for recreational use. We have a very active community here in Juneau that likes to get out, hike the trails, get out and see different areas in Juneau. So some of these properties have some wonderful either trails or access providing to a fishing or subsistence site that people can use.
I see. Okay, that's great. All right, so let's get to the fun bit, this dinner, right? So how did it come about? How do we get Fiddlehead involved? And I know Fiddlehead closed many years ago. It's a beloved restaurant. We all miss it sometimes, and we have the Fiddlehead cookbooks in our houses and all that kind of stuff. But we're actually going to get to taste some of this food, right?
Yes, that's right. So how it came about is one of the founders of the Fiddlehead restaurant is actually also a founder of the Land Trust. And so we're so excited to partner with her, and that's Deborah Marshall, and bring back some of those recipes that people have been either missing or making in their homes for years, and treat everyone to a night out enjoying those and celebrating the work of the Land Trust as we do that.
That's cool. Let's shout out to Susan Brooke and Nancy and John DeTurney, who are the other co-owners of the Fiddlehead restaurant. And so what is going to be happening in this evening? Are we going to be tasting like a variety of the dishes? And is it a fancy dinner? Do we need to dress up and all that kind of stuff? What do we need to do?
So one of the main features, it'll be a salmon dinner. So we're excited about that. It'll be several courses. And like I said, all those recipes will be from the Fiddlehead restaurant. And we'll also be having a dessert auction. All those desserts will be made by bakers from around town and all from the Fiddlehead recipe cookbook.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like maybe there should be like a, not a competition, but I guess it's like a celebration, right? Of the desserts and things that they're going to be making.
Yeah,
just like which is the best dessert, but you're going to get to decide because you're going to bid on it.
Exactly.
Right? That's what's going to happen. And then you get to take it home and eat it, or you can share it right there probably.
Yep. That's the idea.
That would be kind of fun. What other kinds of things will you be celebrating that night? Are you celebrating specific people as well?
So we will be providing information on the organization and certainly some of the founders, some of the parcels themselves, the lands that are managed. We'll also be recognizing our land stewards. We have volunteers who go out and actually a couple times a year and do inventory of those lands and make sure there aren't any encumbrances or trash or whatever that do cleanup and do inventory of those areas annually. So we'll be recognizing the many volunteers and hands. We'll be looking at the work of the Seal Trust, which also at different times of the year might involve nature walks and getting out on some of the areas with the community and talking about those different kinds of activities. And then also recognizing individuals and businesses in the communities that have really served as great sponsors of this organization. And some of those, just for this event, we've got Alaska Glacier Seafoods, Alaska Brewing, Alaska Seaplanes, the Amalga Distillery, all that have made some wonderful contributions to the success of this dinner.
Okay. Yeah. And I know that Olivia also had a note about you're still looking for a couple more sponsors, right? You're still looking for some help?
Yeah, so things are coming together very nicely. But one thing we want to be sure to have is wine, of course. So we're looking if there's anyone out there or knows anyone out there who is interested in sponsoring us on wine, please contact us through the information on our website, which is southeastalaskalandtrust.org. We would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And is that also the place that we can go and find it? Well, obviously, if we can find out more about the Seal Trust there, but is that where we also find out information about the event?
Yes, that is right. You can go to our website and there's a tab there for events. And it has at the very top will be information about Fiddlehead. And you can click there and buy tickets and see more information about the event itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And who would you like to see come out to this event?
We'd like to see Juneau that enjoys the outdoors, Juneau people that enjoy the outdoors, come out and see what the Land Trust is doing and perhaps get involved either with helping at the board level or with contributing so that we can manage the lands we have and or pick up new lands that have some real conservation value. The purpose is to celebrate 28 years of success, but the other purpose is to try to just make more people understand what we're doing and hopefully persuade them to get involved at some level.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've just, you know, maybe moved to Juneau and you don't know anything about this, this might be a great opportunity to learn a little about the Sealed Trust, have some food from one of, you won't know the Fiddlehead, but you'll get to taste a little bit of it and be like, oh yeah, why isn't that restaurant still around? That would be so great. But Olivia, Beth, and Matt, thanks for coming in. I want to remind everybody, this is the Fiddlehead pop-up dinner hosted by SEALT, or Southeast Alaska Land Trust. It's happening at Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. It's on October 21st. That's a Saturday. And I think it begins at 5:30. Is that when the doors open and everything? And it'll have some of the best loved recipes from the Fiddlehead restaurant. They're also going to celebrate their 28th anniversary, which is awesome. So it's great work that y'all do. I really want to appreciate you for coming in today. Gunnath Cheesh, for telling us all about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Up next, time to kick it with the Juneau Soccer Club. Up next here on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
Of the game. Football. The name of the game. Football. The name of the game. Football. The name of the game.
Football. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juneau Soccer Club's mission is to foster the physical, mental, and emotional growth and development of Juneau's youth through the sport of soccer at all ages. Their new season kicks off soon, and they have an event tomorrow, the season kickoff event, tomorrow from 4:30 to 6:30. I believe it's at the Diamond...
Yep, the Diamond Park Fieldhouse.
The Diamond Park Fieldhouse.
You got it.
Yeah, and who's here with me? Stacy and Ibra Joof. And Stacy is like the organizer of the thing.
Yeah, currently I'm the president of the soccer
club. The president. Yeah. And then Ibra's actually a player.
Yeah.
And also, I think, related to the person who's...
Yeah, he's my son and a player, yes.
Absolutely.
He gets surrounded by soccer.
All right, so give us, let's start by getting sort of the rundown of what is the Juneau Soccer Club. I sort of talked about the mission a little bit, but what do y'all do?
Sure. Thank you so much for having us on today, Boston. So what we do is we offer the opportunity for kids to improve their soccer skills and an opportunity to compete with soccer as well. So we have a variety of ages, kids as young as, let's see, 20, if they were born in 2017 to 2019, they can come and do academy. And that is basically just come learn about soccer, come kick the ball, and then we build from there. We have a pre-comp, and then we go into comp levels. And so as the kids get older, they learn more skills and have more opportunity to compete.
Okay. So, Ibra, how long have you been participating in this?
I've been playing in a club since I was about 3 or 4.
3 or 4?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not going to guess your age now, but it seems like that's many years ago.
Yeah.
And so you love soccer?
Yeah, that's my main sport. I don't really play anything else.
Yeah, so. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because this is one of those things where you do it by the year the person was born.
Correct.
Right? So that's how you put them into slots, as it were.
Yeah, we fall under the youth soccer, US youth soccer. And so that is the way they organize competitions across the nation. And so it's always by birth year, which can be tricky because most other sports or schools, we do it by grade level, but we do it by birth year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good because then you don't forget.
It's, correct.
You don't really remember. You don't forget the year you were born, hopefully.
Yeah. Let's hope not.
Let's hope not. And I have to give you wonderful props. I was looking at your website and boy, it's really good. Like in terms of like, it gives you all the information you need. Tell us the name of what's the website link?
The website is junosoccer.org. And yeah, thank you for that. It's a group of volunteers that all run the soccer club. We do have, my husband is the director of coaching. And so he coaches and that's a paid position, but the rest of us are all volunteers just putting it together. So thank you for the compliment on our website.
Absolutely. And there was a point on the website where I noticed it was like referees, managers, coaches. You're always looking for more volunteers, right?
Yeah, we sure are. We're looking for coaches, referees, managers, anyone who can be on the board. We have the need. We would ultimately, we would love to offer like a gear store on the website. And so if we could have someone on the board who has an expertise in that, we always are looking for more people to help out in a variety of ways, on the pitch or off the pitch.
On the pitch. And we know, you know why I know that? I think I mentioned this last time we were here, but because of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, we all love Ted Lasso, man. He's awesome.
I mean, there's a lot of people in America who are fans of soccer, for sure, because we have professional soccer teams, right? But it is not the biggest sport that is in this country. But it seems like a show comes along like a Ted Lasso, and all of a sudden more people get involved. It's like when that show about the Glee Club was on way back in the day, and everybody got into Glee Clubs at that point. But now, do you find that? Do you see more kids signing up for soccer, or more parents being like, ooh, maybe I should put Johnny or Sarah into the soccer club?
Yeah, that we may be getting a little bit of the Ted Lasso effect. It's a little bit hard to tell. We're still regrouping from COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're growing year by year. So maybe some of it's Ted Lasso, and maybe some of it's just the success we've had as a club, and all the kids that talk about soccer and go to the field all the time, like Ibra and his buddies go to the field. And I think word has just spread as well.
So yeah,
probably it's a combination.
It's a great sport to sort of just get outside, right? Kick the ball around. Ibra, how much do you put in? I know I looked at the website and I saw like the schedule of when the different groups meet each week. So there's certain times for each group and where they meet and all that kind of stuff and who coaches that, which is really cool. But do you spend other times outside of that, like just kicking the ball around?
Yes. I mean, I don't do it as much as I'd want to, but
school gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah. School, and I also fish a lot, so that gets in the way. But I'd like to say that I'd try to do any other work, as it's cardio or playing with the ball, at least one day besides practice.
Yeah, so playing with the ball, does that mean like kicking it around? Or are you doing specific kinds of exercises or things that the coach has given you to work on?
It kind of depends. Usually the coaches don't give us anything to work on. We're usually just dribbling or juggling or pass against the wall or pass with my little brother or something like that.
I see. Okay. And I'm not that well versed in what goes on the pitch, as it were. But what position do you play?
I play center back, which is kind of just in the middle as a defender.
Okay, so there's the folks who spend time in the back to make sure that if the ball gets kicked down that way that you're going to protect it. Because the soccer field is huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it takes a while to get positioning down for a lot of people.
To figure out where to go, because at first I would think like probably like the 5-year-olds and the 6-year-olds are just running towards the ball all the time, right? Like they're just going where the action is.
Yeah.
I call it beehive soccer.
But then they figure it out as you get a little bit older. You start figuring out what your position is, what your role is. And it sort of teaches that, right? It sort of teaches like teamwork. And do you feel like you've learned that, Ibra, about sort of teamwork and how to work with a group of people?
Yeah. And then you also kind of have to like figure out when people make mistakes, you're going through and not putting them down, but also how keeping each other held accountable for mistakes we're making on the field and also working together as a team.
So you can get better. And so how does it work in terms of the I know there's like a tournament tab. So is there, because this used to be managed differently, right? And then it broke off as a sort of separate thing. Tell us a little bit about the history of that.
Sure. Well, the Juno Soccer Club, I believe it began in 1989. And for those of you listening, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I do believe it was around 1989 or 1990. And really,
91.
91. There you go. Oh, I was close.
Yeah.
So, and it has grown from there. Originally, it was really a way to sort of support the high school soccer. And then we've added age groups and level groups. And then all the way down, like I said, to kids who are three and 4 years old.
Yeah.
And so it has just expanded over the years. And as we came out of COVID, one of the things we heard from a lot of parents is like, where's the competition? And we were not able to really compete outside of Juno that much. And so we do have several tournaments. We have what we call a 3v3, just a small-sided tournament in November. And then we link up with Marty McEwen of RE/MAX to put on Holiday Cup over in December. Then in February, we do a 7v7 tournament at the field house called Cupid Invitational. And then we do a summer tournament in June called Solstice Cup that's outside.
Awesome.
So we've added quite a bit of local competition because kids, you know, they practice and practice and they want to be able to show off their skills. And everybody loves watching their kid compete.
They want mom and dad to come and see what they've been working on,
correct,
right?
Correct.
And I mentioned this schedule, and then we'll talk about the event tomorrow a little bit. But this is really interesting because it's like a diagram here with like with so many different age groups and then which time they're going to work on. But it looks like a lot of times it's in the early evening during the week. Right. Is
correct.
That kind of when things are happening? So just for people who might be interested in signing their student up for it. So it depends on the age, but you're looking at like sometime after work in the evening between like 5 to 9 depends. Sometimes the rehearsal, that's my theater. That's my theater life coming back to haunt me. Practice.
Yes.
Right.
Practice.
And it's usually about an hour or so, depending upon the group, I guess. Right.
Yep. Generally, it's an hour long practice. And for Academy, which are our youngest kiddos, they have 1 hour a week. Pre-comp goes 2 times a week. And then our comp teams, they have 2 sessions a week at the field house. And then starting in mid-October, we do futsal. So we do like a little mini futsal, which is basically a fancy way of saying indoor soccer. We have futsal going on for the comp level teams 1 day a week. So they get 2 practices in a game.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah. And then come April, we migrate outside once, you know, if and when the snow melts, we head outside.
Yeah, that was my question. So the season beginning soon, like it runs, tell me when it runs from.
Yep. We start, practices start this coming Monday, which I believe is October 2nd. Mm-hmm. And then our season goes through about mid-August. So we stay inside. April, we go outside. We generally, the comp teams generally travel out of state or up to Anchorage in the summertime for some summer tournaments. And then we wrap it up in mid-August as football takes over the outdoor fields.
Oh, I see.
So it's right. It's all about field
time.
But
you go from October to mid-August. So you really only get about, what is that? I don't know, 6 weeks off, Ibra, and then you're back at it.
Yeah, and like this year going into high school, we started having practices for JD at the downtown turf after school the first week of school. So I haven't stopped. And then I had a club kind of state team tournament in September over Labor Day, so we went to Seattle. So we really didn't have a break.
Wow. So it becomes a lifestyle, really.
Yes, yeah. I would say so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And registration is open. So if people are listening and want to maybe sign up their kiddo, this is the time to do it, right?
It sure is. You can go to junosoccer.org and the link to registration is right there.
And you could come to tomorrow's event.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. So tomorrow is our second annual JSC kickoff event. So, you know, they always do opening day for baseball. So we thought, well, we'd love to do some sort of an opening kickoff for soccer. So this is our second year of doing it and it's at the field house. There's going to be a few different like juggling contests, soccer juggling contest with your feet, I should clarify.
No pins involved.
Yeah, no pins involved. Yeah. We're going to have a bouncy house and it's we're going to have some pizza. It's just an opportunity. All the board members will be there. We'll do a little informational session with parents so they can learn more about soccer club. If they want to register, you know, we'll have that information there as well. So if any, you want to just find out more about soccer club, come join us. We'll be at the field house tomorrow night, 4:30 to 6:30
at the Diamond Field House.
You got it.
And you can find out more at junosoccer.org. Get your kiddo signed up. Practice starts Monday.
Be ready.
Get on it. Stacy and Ibra Juve, thank you for coming in and telling us all about this. This is wonderful. Don't break a leg. That's what we say in the theater, but break a leg tomorrow.
Yeah. There we go. All right. Sounds good. Thank
but
you
don't
so
really.
Much for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Gunnath Cheesh. Up next, October's first Friday is right around the corner, and we'll chat with photographer Fubao Hartle, who is having his first Friday event next week at Kindred Post. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. My next guest is quickly becoming a Juno legend. Fubao Hartle is an advocate for himself and others with disabilities. He is a spokesperson for Special Olympics. He participates in the ORCA program through SAIL. And in addition to all of that, he does so many other things. But in addition to all of that, he is a photographer, and he will have his very own and first Friday event next Friday, October 6th at Kindred Post. Joining me now in the studio, 2K dedicated to Kaelin Hobbs-Peterson, is Fubao, and of course, Fubao's mom, Claire. How are you both?
Thank you for having us on. This is a big deal for me.
Yeah, absolutely. The Gwyneth Cheese for being here. This is a big deal. Your first Friday.
Yes.
It is so amazing. Now, you are a photographer. Tell us why you're a photographer.
Because I believe in my heart, I believe it's easy on me, and I want to show my artwork out to everybody, because we can do art with a disability. We can do stuff with a disability.
Yeah, so it's a great way for you to be able to take photos, right? And I think you talked about, like, because it is an accessible art form for you, right?
Yes,
yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's easier for you to do that, right? To take photos. But you also, you go so many places and you travel around and you love the outdoors, right?
Yes, it's really amazing. This is going to be a really exciting week for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that like you travel around and you take these pictures, and you brought some note cards in today, and these are just lovely. Like there's this one with a sort of a buoy. Is that like a buoy?
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's like pictures of the ice sculptures, the glaciers that you've been to, the misty fjords that you have a great picture of, the little waterfall there. That's so beautiful. And so at this event next week, and of course you can go, I just want to put out this website too in case people want to follow along, Photos by Fubao, which is F-U-B-A-O, photosbyfubao.com. And of course he prints his note cards on USA, in the USA, on recycled paper, because it says that right on there, which is great. But you're going to have note cards there, and you're also going to have a calendar, right?
Yes, and it's really, hopefully it will be a calendar, but we have the calendar printing as we speak right now.
Yes, we're expecting to pick it up hopefully on Monday and be hot off the press.
Oh, I see. We're getting them printed.
Ready to go. And
yeah.
So those note cards that you were looking at are printed in the U.S. and then his next new note cards coming out, and the calendar will not only be printed in the U.S., they'll be printed in Alaska. So you'll see on the back of the sample of the calendar that it's got a made in Alaska.
Oh, printed in Juneau, Alaska, on recycled paper. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I love you get the little made in Alaska. Because not only are the photos taken here by somebody who lives here, it's actually printed here, right?
Exactly.
And so you've got, how did you decide, Fubao, which photo you wanted to put with which month?
By my volunteer mom, thank you. No, really. She is a really main driving force with my business. She is my business manager.
Oh yeah.
So the secret behind that is actually, Fubao, you put a lot into it. Like certain months, he'll be like, it's, you know, January is kind of wintry, so he thinks of like a wintry picture. So he has one of Tracy Arm with snow in the mountains, and ice in the water. And then other months, it's because, you know, like he has an uncle that really loves to fish, so he's got a jumping fish, and of course that's in the month that his uncle's born. And then he picks like his favorite picture for his birthday month. And
He thinks of what's your birthday month, Fubao?
May, sun is cloud, 1999.
May, so May.
Wow,
so,
my birthday's in May as well.
Oh, May babies.
Yeah, yes. My birthday's May 30th, like a week later. I was born a few years before you.
A couple.
Just a few.
So he has a point retreat is what he put for his birthday month, because he really liked his point retreat photo that he took.
That's really cool. That is really great. I love this. This is going to be great. It's FUBAU Southeast Alaska Adventures 2024 calendar. And these are going to be available. Hopefully they're coming in on Monday, or they will be done on Monday. They'll be done by next Friday for sure.
They're supposed to be. So we can pick them up and have them ready to go. And he also has some other items. So you have note cards and calendars. What else do you have available, FUBAU?
Prints and mats. Pictures and mats prints.
Well, prints. Some that are matted, some that are framed.
Oh, I see. Metal
prints,
yeah.
Some different various
Gotcha.
Prints.
Okay. So you've got different prints, different things happening. And so this event, just remind people, it's first Friday, which is next week. It's October 6th from 4:30 to 7, and FUBAU will be down at Kindred Post. Are you going to be on hand to sign calendars and stuff for folks if they want a signed calendar?
Yes. Yes, I will. And hey, Mom, if people are wondering who encouraged me to start my own business?
Oh, he wants to talk a little bit about his business. For years, FUBAU was asked about having his own business.
Okay.
I was discouraging. No, it's too much. It's going to be difficult. And then he was meeting with a group of friends called Peer Power. That's a bunch of people with disabilities that advocate for themselves and others. And there are several artists and folks with disabilities that said, well, we have a business, you should do it. And then with the pandemic, he really, got into spending time looking at his photos, and he made a couple of personal calendars to share with friends and family during the pandemic. And then I thought, okay, let's give it a try. So how long have you had your business, FUBAU?
Yeah.
One year, a year.
Oh, a year.
Yes. I'm going on my 1 year because we started a year from November of 2020, a week after Thanksgiving, we started. My first kickoff event was the Juno Public Market.
Oh, yeah. I remember you at Juno Public Market last year. I do remember that. So that was your first sort of business event.
That was my first kickoff event.
Yeah, your kickoff event. And now here we are almost a year later, and now you have your first Friday event. What does it mean to have your first Friday event? What does that mean to you?
I feel like it's mean to me because I am so passionate for people with disabilities. If anybody has a disability wants to start on their own business, just go ahead. Get as many support as you need and start it up.
Yeah, and get a good manager, right?
Yes. and also, we need to have a jam-packed Kindred Post.
That's what FUBAU wants next Friday for his first Friday event. Are you going to be at Public Market again this year as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I will. And also, I will do Public Market and also we are going to an event in Anchorage.
Oh, you're going to an event in Anchorage? What's that?
Disability and Aging Summit is with Special Olympics Alaska. They often put on an event. It's called Disability and Aging Summit, and they have vendors booths.
Yes, Disability and Aging Summit. That's in a couple of weeks. So they said they had vendor booths. So he's going to try his hand.
You're going to have your own vendor booth. Photos by FUBAU, right?
Yeah.
And also, we are doing it up here because a couple of years ago, a speaker from Special Olympics called Roletto Craybone spoke at the summit a couple of years ago.
Yeah, she was very inspirational to FUBAU. She's a Special Olympics athlete, Loretta Claiborne, and she started with Special Olympics as a teenager. She had a tough time being bullied in school, and she had a mentor that encouraged her to be an athlete, and she really learned to kind of grow that way. She's won multiple marathons. Amazing. She's in her 60s now. She still runs. She was very inspirational.
Big inspiration for you, FUBAU.
And Disney even made a movie based on her life story.
Oh, wow.
So she's Loretta Claiborne. So she's cool. And she'll be at the summit. So FUBAU's
So you're a little excited about that.
And also, if you never met her, if you never watched her video, I really Highly recommended. She is an amazing speaker.
Like a motivational kind of speaker. She got it on YouTube or something. Yeah, that's great. So, and what, speaking of a motivational speaker and being a speaker for things, you've been becoming a real good advocate for that. You have anything lined up for that coming up? You got anything that you want to, or anything that you want to tell the audience now in terms of advocating?
Yes, if anybody wants to go on the hill and advocate, just do it. We need to have a more active advocating chapter in general. Is let's go up on the hill and raise our voices and let's be heard.
Yeah, more active advocating chapter, right? Raise our voices a little bit more.
Maybe we'll come back in the future and talk a little bit more about Special Olympics and maybe the key campaign that does come together for advocating during the legislative period. So
absolutely. Yeah, but what we need to know right now, really focus on is jam-packed Kindred posts. That is what you want, right?
And also get everybody fired up.
Everybody fired up.
And just if the folks don't know where Kindred Post is, it's downtown. It's on Franklin Street, 145 South Franklin, and it's across from the clock on the clock. Corner,
so. Yeah, it's right there on the corner. It's a great. They do great with these monthly First Fridays. They're always inviting artists, and Fubao will be on hand with his note cards, his fresh off the press calendar, which looks beautiful. These photos are. It's all of outdoors here in Alaska. It's made in Alaska. It's printed here in Juneau. And photos by Fubao himself, who, if you can't make it to First Friday next week, he will be at Public Market during Thanksgiving and selling more stuff.
And may I say something?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenna, so much for helping us with Special Olympic Bowl, and thank you for turning out to volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. Volunteering for the Special Olympic Bowling. That's where you were here last time.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thanks, Fubao, for coming in. Thanks Fubao's so mom, Claire, for coming in as well. Photos by Fubao, First Friday at Kindred Post, October 6th, next Friday from 4:30 to 7. There'll be 2024 calendars, note cards, prints, and of course, Fubao himself.
All right.
Let's go.
Hope to see you there.
Let's go and jam pack your office.
Absolutely. That's so great. Up next, we'll be talking with Treadwell Arena about their exciting Skate to Eliminate Cancer event that's happening this weekend. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. It was a Oh yeah, a little U2 with Beautiful Day. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. There is a very cool series of events happening this weekend, and not only cool because it's on the ice, it's happening at Treadwell Arena, and it's the Skate to Eliminate Cancer. It will be hosted by Olympic gold medal skating icon Scott Hamilton, and the events all kick off in just a few hours, and there are a lot of things happening this weekend. So here to share about it is Lauren Anderson, the Treadwell Arena manager. Gunnath Cheech for being here today, Lauren.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
And I love seeing you in the hall with Fubao because you taught him skating.
I sure did. Yeah, it's been a while, but yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was much younger.
Yeah, he is becoming a Juneau icon for his advocacy. And, this is the same sort of thing. Like, they were advocating to help eliminate cancer. You've got a whole series of events. Some of the stuff is sold out, but there's other things that are still really open for community involvement. So let's just get into it. Like, first of all, let's ask, how did this event come about?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So in 2019, one of our adult skaters, Wendy, approached me about doing this event, the Skate to Eliminate Cancer with Scott Hamilton. And I said, sure, let's see what it's all about and let's see if it's something we could do here in Juneau. And then, of course, with COVID, it delayed the kind of the process. Mm-hmm. And so then last year, we revisited the idea and I reached out to the Scott Cares Foundation and we just started communicating and they've got a small staff, but Kim reached out to me and she's our kind of coordinator of the event and said, sure, we can do this. And it just so happened that she lives in the same community as where I grew up in Cleveland.
Oh.
And it just so happened that my mom was going through this cancer experience as well. So the coincidental timing was something.
Mm.
And so I talked to Kim. She's like, yeah, we can make this happen. And I just thought, like, I couldn't believe it. And she said, we're going to Eagle River so we could make it like a little Alaska tour. So Scott Hamilton and Kim are in Eagle River today. And then they'll get on a flight tomorrow morning and come to Juneau for our celebration weekend. So we've done all this fundraising in the last 6 months. And our goal was to raise $25,000 for cancer research, which is what Scott Hamilton's foundation supports. And 30% of our funds raised here in town goes to a local organization. And so that's the Cancer Connection. And so we've exceeded our goal and we are at $31,196 as of right now, which is just amazing. And we really, I didn't know what to expect with this whole experience, but Juneau is just an amazing community and so special. And we really appreciate the support.
Well done, Juneau, right?
Every day. I know. It's just great.
It's amazing the support that this small community of people continues to do in all the different areas. I just want to throw out the website in case people are interested.
Sure.
Fundraise.scottcares.org/Juneau. That shows you all of the events for this weekend. There's also a button on there probably to give some money as well if you want to donate to this, because it's amazing that Scott just sort of continues to just travel around with this event year after year after year and help to keep doing this, which I think is fantastic.
We're in a really special situation because it turns out he doesn't go to all of his events. He's just not able to.
Yeah.
So this is a real exciting time and we're really fortunate to have him. And we have additional Olympians coming as well, Keegan Messing and Paulina Edmonds. And so we're really, really excited about this opportunity. And although the shows are sold out for tomorrow, we have other opportunities for folks. And so
let's start with tonight's event and
sure.
Let's run through the weekend. I know there's some of the things that are sold out, but let's highlight the ones that are still available for people to participate in. And beginning with tonight, what's happening tonight?
Yeah. So there's something for everyone. And tonight we have one hockey game and it's for the adults and it's from 7 to 8 p.m. And it's open. You can just come and watch. It's kind of a pond hockey style, very informal. And you can give a donation if you'd like to help support Scott Cares Foundation or just come and watch. And that's today. And then tomorrow we have youth hockey is doing a 3-on-3 and that starts about 7:30, 8 in the morning. And so that goes until noon. So you can stop by and watch a little youth hockey. The ice will be split in half. And so there'll be multiple games going on at the same time.
And that's for various different ages?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And that was all signups were done in advance for the hockey.
Okay.
But then at noon, we're doing a remembrance walk. And everything starts and ends at the Treadwell Arena. And then we'll walk down front to First Street, down to the end and back to the rink. And then we'll have door prizes and you can sign up. You can just show up and sign up and register when you arrive. And we're excited for that. And then we do have two skating shows, one at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock and then one from 5:30 till 6:30. And then Sunday we have an event in the morning our open skate from 11 to 12, and that's open for all ages and abilities. You can register in advance today or tomorrow or the day of the open skate. So yeah, and then the we'll close things out with the youth hockey. We'll finish out the celebration weekend. So we're really excited. Like I said, there's a lot of events for everybody. The Remembrance Walk is tomorrow from noon until 1, starting and ending at Treadwell Arena. And then the open skate on Sunday from 11 to 12.
So the Remembrance Walk, I know that you have some great sponsors involved in this. And that's, you know, sort of that Remembrance Walk says being presented by Southeast Radiation Oncology Center. Just want to give them a shout out. That's tomorrow. And you can sign up for all of these. Is that at the website that I gave
it
before?
Is.
That's where you can find out all the information. Fundraise.scottcares.org/Juno. And it costs a couple bucks, not that much, $10 to register for that. To be able to participate in that. And a remembrance walk sounds wonderful. It says you'll drop carnations into the channel and then make your way back to the rink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's
lovely.
The plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, join us.
Yeah, that sounds so, so just wonderful in terms of being able to remember those you've lost
to cancer
or anything,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it touches all of us in some way.
Yeah, for sure. And as you mentioned, the actual skating shows are sold out. But you could fan it up and just wait and wave.
We have something called Live Barn, so you could live stream it.
Oh, you could.
You have to subscribe, but if you, I think there's a discount code Treadwell, it might be SEAK for Southeast Alaska.
Okay.
And that should be on the Treadwell Arena website, and then you could live stream it. But that might be an option for folks, too.
Might be an option. And then, of course, the open skate on Sunday presented by Bartlett Regional Hospital from 11 to 12. And that's just really an opportunity for anybody to come out and the weekend. One more chance to get on the ice, right?
It is, yeah.
So is this like the kickoff to Treadwell's season, as it were?
Sure, you could say that. I mean, we've never done something like this before. This is very new. So October really kicks off our big season. We unfortunately are short staffed, so we aren't offering as many programs as we'd like at this time.
Mm.
So if you are looking for a part-time seasonal job, please go to the CBJ employment website and their recreation activity leader, recreation. That's for the Zamboni driver. We have a recreation worker and front office staff and a custodian. So we have a position
for
everybody.
Positions open.
Yeah,
if you need a job, this is the place to work.
Because
I mean,
so
I know in the past you've done like different like Halloween skates.
We do. We've got that coming up too.
Okay, you do have that.
Yeah,
at
that's
the end of
on
October.
The 20th, October 20th.
Okay.
And that'll be sponsored by the Rotary, the Juno Guest Know Rotary.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And where do we find out more about Treadwell Arena itself? What's the website for that?
Oh, come to our website, treadwellarena.org.
Treadwellarena.org. And that's going to have all the links for upcoming events for the winter. And I'm sure you have open skates at different times
during the week
and all that good stuff. It's great to see y'all coming back into the fold after the last couple of years of having to close down. And it sounds like Lauren's saying, you need a job. That's the place to go and work because it sounds really fun.
It is fun. And you can skate for free.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Skate for free. But we're celebrating the Skate to Eliminate Cancer weekend. There's all kinds of events tonight. Tonight, there's an adult co-ed hockey game from 7 o'clock on. You can go and watch tomorrow morning early. It sounds early. There's a youth hockey game, which you've all signed up for already. And the Remembrance Walk, really get out for that at noon. It starts at Treadwell Arena. Sounds lovely. A walk down Front Street with some carnations into the channel and all that. And then the open skate on Sunday as well.
Yes, please come out to the rink. We hope to see you there.
And fundraise.scottcares.org/Juno is the website if you want to raise a little bit more money.
Yes.
So thanks, Lauren, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Gunnith Cheesh. The That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a fantastic weekend. Next week, we'll have more conversations around Breast Cancer Awareness Month, musician interviews from Juno Jazz and Classics Fall Music Festival, and a preview and listen to the KTOO project Maga Cuento. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hit up kto.org/JunoAfternoon for more. Everyone, have a fantastic weekend.